looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the glory of God. For consider him. When's the last time you considered that? I was blessed by that devotional this morning. Consider him. That was a joy that was set before him so we can have what? Everlasting life. So we can have drink freely of the water of life. Time brings a lot of changes, doesn't it? I'm not even sure what year my grandparents would have moved here. Somewhere in the 78, 79, somewhere in there. I don't remember exactly how long after that was the first time that I walked in this building. And if I'm not badly mistaken, I think I came in with Henry. We're related. And over the period of time, back and forth, we got fairly close. And I remember one time, I'm not even sure, I think it was right here on one of these benches. I was sitting beside Brother Henry, and he flipped through his Bible. And there was a picture he showed me in his Bible that changed his life forever. And after that, it seemed we were still friends. But you know, the blessing of this morning is that we're all brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. That's a blessing that we can be a part of that family. I have a question for you this morning. Are you singing? Are you singing? And when I ask that question, I'm not referring that you got to be singing right now. How would that be if you'd be trying to sing and I'm preaching? It wouldn't work. I'm referring more to what I'm talking about. Singing is your testimony that flows out of your life, what Christ has done for you. And I'm not indicating that you got to go through life and everywhere you go that you better have a song on your heart or you'll be singing. And if you're not, you begin to question, is this man? No, that's not what I'm referring to. But I'm referring to having a witness when you go into the public that you are telling the public that your God is alive and that he's real in your heart. We see people walking the streets today that look like they could care less if they're here or there. It looks like their God is dead. And perhaps if you would peep into their life and you would really see the God that they are serving, it is probably dead. You see, our witness tells a lot about us. More about us than we can verbally say. And people will believe what they see in you versus what you say. We are the only Bible that the world is reading. So is it true? So are you witnessing a true witness? If God is alive. And I'm afraid sometimes that I see this thing of the world somehow, why does it have a tendency to rub off on us? What are some of the gods that the world may be looking at? Dead gods, I call them dead gods. Modern technology. Do you think that has an influence on us as plain people? I'm afraid it does. Oh, it's so handy to have the internet. It's so handy. I mean, it's just a good tool. Some people say they can't live without it. They did years ago and somehow made it. And I'm not knocking that all down. Don't get me wrong. But if we let that thing take control of us, it becomes a god to us. And I'm alarmed. And I'm going to say this freely because I don't see anything here and I'm not trying to look around and see either. But When we come to church service and we no longer carry the Bible with us, and when scripture reading is done, we got to pull in our pocket and pull out this phone. It bothers me. Are we ashamed to carry the Word of God? And I hope you understand where I'm coming from. See, the temptation is right there to go anywhere you want to in service and make it look like you're following along. God. Idols. Let's go to Psalm 137. I'd like to read the first four verses here. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For they that carried us away to captivity required of us a song. And they that wasted us required us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Here we get a picture of people that were in bondage. They were captured from Jerusalem, and now they were in bondage, in captivity. And we see an awful dark picture that is painted here. And I don't know a whole lot about history. I don't claim to. But my understanding is that when Daniel and his three friends were taken into captivity, this happened before that this would have been recorded. This would have been earlier. Nebuchadnezzar at that time set a king over Jerusalem. That king was supposed to rule under Nebuchadnezzar's authority. And he rebelled. That king rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar in his fury came back and destroyed Jerusalem and took other captivities back. And here they were. And it says, according to what I could find, this was a custom for Jews to gather at the riverbank to hold their religious service. And there they were. They were crying and they were mourning. How are we going to sing in this stage? God, why did you do this to us? Why did you bring us into captivity? We're your children. You promised our forefathers this land. Why did you bring us up into this captivity? How are we going to sing? And so they said, no use. We just hung our harps. They just hung them on these willow bushes and they gave up. No use. No use. Did you ever get to that point in your life where your song was gone? And you felt like just, you know, what's the use? Life is useless. I did. Not so long ago, I was at that very point. There were some things that we were working through in the congregation. And just because it didn't go the way that I thought it should, I came to the point where I said, you know what? If they call this Christianity, I want no part of it. Brethren, when we come to that point, we better get on our knees and we better cry out to God. We better make restitution and we better get back and we better be singing this song, because that's exactly where the devil wants us. Oh, just give up. It's no use. God, well, you know, that's God's fault. Why did he ever bring you in this? And the list could go on and on. Here they were in a sad situation, weren't they? But why were they there? Why were they there? Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 11. Jeremiah the prophet, he preached many a time to the children of Israel. He told them, get right with God. Be restored back into fellowship with God. Get your things in order. This is what he says in chapter 11 of Jeremiah. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, hear ye the words of this covenant and speak unto the men of Judah and unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant, which I command your fathers, in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them according to all which I command you, So shall ye be my people, and I will be your God, that I may perform the oath which I have sworn unto your fathers, to give them the land flowing with milk and honey as it is this day. Then answered I and said, so be it, O Lord. Why were they in captivity? They broke the covenant with God. Their commitment, their agreement with God that we will serve you was broken. They went back to their idol worship as did their forefathers. God came to them time and time again through their prophets saying, repent. They hardened their heart. They didn't even hear what God was saying, and they continued on in their idol worship. God said, this is enough. Jeremiah, I don't even want you to pray for them. This is it. And he took them into captivity. Now, how serious are you with some of the covenants that you made with God? When you were baptized, you made a covenant with God and these witnesses that you will say no to the world and the devil and all his demonic works. God, I'm yours and I'm going to serve you forever. Is that still your covenant? Have you broken that? God said, cursed be the man that does not obey the covenant. That's how serious God looks at it. And you know, friends, when we break a covenant and we begin to hide behind our plain suits and we hide sin, we think no one else knows it. You know what we're doing? We are in captivity. The devil has got a hold of us. We're in captivity. We are in the iron furnace. And that's exactly where the devil wants us. What about the commitment? What about the commitment or the covenant that you made to your wife? And there's more that we could look at this morning. How serious? You know, God looks at this serious. This is agreement that we said no to the world. And that we're following you, God, wherever you go. Are we still faithful in that? Are we faithful in that? So, if there's sin in our life, if there's a broken covenant, we have no song to sing. The song is gone. And when we are in that state, I praise God for the blood. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. And that's the only way that we can get released from captivity or out of the iron furnace is by the blood of Jesus Christ. Consider him. Perhaps this morning, I don't know your hearts. Perhaps this morning, God has been speaking to you and wants you, your life, and you have never made a commitment with God. Maybe he's speaking to you. If he is, give him your life. Get out of that captivity and serve Jesus Christ and put a new song in your heart and sing to the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we keep the Word of God? How do we keep the Word of God? I believe that's another covenant that we have made with God, that we will follow His Word, His teaching, His commandments. And it concerns me, it alarms me how many people can just toss it aside. Huh, that was for Grandpa's day. That was way back there. That's not what it means today. That concerns me. It burdens me. God said, heaven and earth is going to pass away, but my word will stand forever. (Clears throat) And friends, may I tell you, there is no freedom in captivity. Why is it, in talking a little bit about freedom, why is it so much that we here, or I here, it seems like it, we want freedom. We want no guidelines. We just want to be free. Is that really freedom? We look at the world. I think the world has more influence on us than we care to admit. We look out there and say, well, they have no guidelines. Everybody for themselves. Nobody's telling me what to do, and I will not give under authority. I am me, me, myself, and I, and that's who I look forward to. I mean, look to. That's the concept of the world. Is it creeping in our circles? And I'll tell you this morning, that is not freedom. You may think that's freedom, but it's not freedom. You're still in captivity in an iron furnace when you think those thoughts. And you want that. You long for that. Freedom is when we can live above the law. And the church guidelines or whatever don't bother us because we're living above them. They're there for safety, for a purpose and a reason. And if we struggle to give ourselves up under authority, then we're going to struggle with the Word of God as well. Our final authority. There's one place that I know of that there's no singing, and that's in hell. That's in hell. It's weeping and gnashing of teeth, groanings and moanings. I'd like to look at this song, a song this morning. It's one of my favorites, 841. It says this way, I have a song I love to sing since I have been redeemed. Of my Redeemer, Savior, King, since I have been redeemed. Have you been redeemed this morning? Have you been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ? Consider Him, looking unto Jesus. Consider Him. That is where your song comes from, since you were redeemed. And when I think of somebody that was redeemed, I like to go to Mark chapter 5. I love this portion of Scripture. Probably my favorite, Mark chapter 5. And I like to read a couple of verses here. And they came over to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gerasenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tomb a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwellings among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Just picture this man. He was in captivity. He was bound. How would it be to step outside of your house and all you could hear is just screaming and groaning and screaming and screaming? At night when you go to bed, your windows are open and you hear the screaming and screaming and screaming of this man. Can you imagine? It's hard for me to imagine the situation. But you know what? We were there before we were redeemed. We were right here. We were bound. Satan had us. He had a grip. He had a hold of us. Notice what changed the picture in verse 6. But Jesus. But Jesus. And when we were bound and when we were in captivity, but Jesus changed us. This man said, what have I to do with you? Or this man said, oh, don't torment me. These demons requested of Jesus to send them over to the herd of swine. 2,000 pigs. Can you imagine 2,000 pigs suddenly being demon possessed and going wild and screaming, and down over the cliff they go and choke into the sea. That's hard for me to imagine, that sight. And those people that saw this happen, they hurried, ran into the city and said, what happened? And here this whole city came out. But they seen this man, he was clothed, sitting in his right mind. Oh, that's wonderful. He was redeemed. This man was redeemed. And he had a song since he was redeemed. When they asked Jesus to leave, he came to Jesus and said, Jesus, he said, I just want to go with you. What did Jesus tell him? You know what he told him? He said, I want you to go back home. And I want you to sing the redemption song. And it says this man went back home and he began in Decapolis to say what Christ has done for him and how he was touched by the hand of God and how he was redeemed. It says, all men marvel. That's a blessing, friends. I love that. Is that your witness when you go to town, that man marvel? They can see you have been with Jesus, that you have the song of the redeemed this morning? I hope so. John Newton, he was another man that was redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Beautiful. He had a song to sing, and he was singing it. I believe today, in the world that we're living in, I should say the day and the time that we're living in, there's a lot of falling away, falling away. And I wonder sometimes, is part of that to do with that we lose our song? Or we lose of what it meant to us when we were redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May I plead with you this morning, brothers and sisters, don't ever lose sight of that wonderful experience you had with Jesus Christ. Don't take it for granted. Never lose the wonder of it all. Verse 2 in that song says, I have a Christ that satisfies, since I have been redeemed, to do His will my highest prize, since I have been redeemed. Satisfaction. You know, there's a longing with each soul. There's a longing there to be filled with something. And sad to say, a lot of people turn to pleasure seeking to fill that void in their life. But since we're redeemed and we have the song, we're fully satisfied in the Word of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Fully satisfied. In Matthew chapter 5, in verse 8, I think it says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. That's a blessing we have of being redeemed. Verse 3, I have a witness clear and bright since I have been redeemed, dispelling every doubt and fear since I have been redeemed. What is your witness? What is your witness in the world around? Is it clear? Are you singing the redemption song loud and clear? The apostles, when they went about their work, it says that man marveled. They took note of them and marveled how they had been with Jesus. Is that your witness this morning? Luke chapter 10, we have the account of the Good Samaritan. And I'm sure we're all familiar with that account. But have you ever stopped and considered the thief? I'm not the thief. Have you ever stopped and considered the man that was going from Jerusalem to Jericho? I don't know. I don't know if he was a sinner or not. But Jericho actually lies 1,300 feet below sea level. And the temple of worship was set up on Jerusalem. And you see, when there's sin in our lives, we start drifting downward, just like this thief. And then he came down and he said, just reading here, a man fell among the thieves or robbers. So they were all around him. He had no hope of escape. Satan is a great robber from whom there is no escape except by the help of one who comes to seek and save that which is lost. The man was stripped. Satan robs man of his original righteousness. He was wounded. Sin brings many sorrows and heartaches. He was left half dead. The man on the journey was left half dead in a physical sense. But a person may be physically active and yet be spiritual dead. And then here comes this priest along. And here comes the Levi along. The Levi actually took a little glance at him, right? And here's a blessing. Here comes a man along that was redeemed, and he was singing redemption song, and he sees this man that needs help, and he went down to him, and he continued his singing. He poured in oil and wine, picked this man up and put him on his beast, and took him to the emergency room and spent the night with him. How could he do that? Because he was a man that was redeemed. He had redemption song, and he was witnessing to this man. The next morning when he left, he said, if you spend more on this man, the next time I come, I will pay it. I'm going to set it right. Somehow I believe that this man that fell among the thieves was converted because of what the Good Samaritan did. And I know, in today's situation, you know, sometimes we go down the highway and we see people that are broke down, and we just have a tendency to, we hear so many stories. And I'm talking to myself, first of all, how many opportunities do we miss by just keeping on going? I have a home prepared for me. Since I have been redeemed, where I shall dwell eternally, since I have been redeemed. That's beautiful, friends. That's beautiful. In John 14, those familiar verses, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And then Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. We don't have no GPS. How can we follow you? Jesus said, I am the what? The truth and the life. The song of redeem. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. We find this beautiful verse here. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seal thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations. That's a song. Are you looking forward to singing that song with the redeemed that went on before us? Chapter 15 and verse 3. And they sang a new song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Some of you have known that I had changed occupations. I work at a Bachman's Country Market. Jameson, he's a manager there. And a lot of times through the day, I hear him bust out into a song, just sing. And it blesses me. But one thing I have noticed, and maybe I'm just thinking this way, but in the afternoon, the closer the time comes to close the store, the louder the song becomes. Just a little more enthusiasm to it, because he's looking forward to going home with his family. And I challenge us this morning, is your song becoming louder the closer you get to heaven? Because you're looking forward to go with those saints and singing the song of Moses and of our redemption, the price that it costs for us. There's others we could look at in the Bible. Men that were singing their song. What about Joseph when he had that temptation? Oh, how different that story would be related if he would have just said, there's no use, God. You brought me down here for no reason at all. I'm discouraged. I'm going to quit singing. What a blessing. He kept on singing. Stephen, when he was stoned, how could he kneel down and pray, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge? The song of redemption, because he was redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Paul and Silas literally sang at midnight a revival in the jailer's house. That's beautiful. Do you have the song of the redeemed this morning? In Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10 it says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Let's kneel for a word of prayer.